Christian Yoga. Now, Carol Matriciana has come out, as I said, with a new film. It is called Yoga Uncoiled from East to West, a look into the practice of yoga in the church. So, this may sound strange. This hour's topic you may feel it's irrelevant. You don't have a loved one steeped in it or deceived by it. Count your blessings, because you surely could in the near future. Now, I am speaking of the yoga rage in the West, but more specifically Christian yoga, which is really should be called Hindu yoga. And I have driven by many churches, and I see these great big signs out front. Christian yoga is here. So I believe that the church is simply trying to sanctify divination, because that's what it is. And Carol and I are asking a couple of questions. Can you practice yoga postures, breathing, and focus techniques and separate yoga's spirituality? And can Christians really employ it to get closer to God? And we are going to touch on those issues here. And today, yoga is experiencing an absolute worldwide renaissance. America has more than 70,000 yoga teachers working in 20,000 locations approximately, and it's viewed primarily as fitness, physical fitness. And the instructors and trainers are in reality, some of them anyway, the leading missionaries of Eastern religion in the West. I said some of them. Now, the $27 billion yoga industry, it's marketed to students, athletes, businessmen, pregnant women, senior citizens, and, yeah, pets. Huh? I kid you not. It promises solutions for stress reduction, concentration problems, and issues of self-confidence. Is this just a trick of the devil to snare Christians and then drive them further away from God? In that the Bible calls such practices divination? You know that it is possible that when you practice yoga and so-called Christian yoga, that you may be, well, the yoga postures are offerings to about 330 million Hindu gods, which makes the term Christian yoga a complete oxymoron. Now, Carol Matriciana, my guest this hour, is the co-founder of Jeremiah Films, and she tries to help people discern the times and be a watchman on the wall with many of today's deceptions. Carol, welcome back to Understanding the Times.
Good morning, Jan. Good morning, good morning. Thank you so much. Yeah. What a lovely Southern California day we have today. Hope you haven't got snow there.
No, we have a day just like you today, but it just took us 6 months to get there. I think that once viewed by Christians as pagan, I'm talking about this yoga business, a pagan import from the East has now become mainstream in the church through what many in the churches are calling Christ-centered yoga classes, and they're designed to help improve spirituality and experience the presence of God. That's a whole topic in itself. How do you experience the presence of God and all the gimmicks being used to do that? What is your primary warning to Christians who feel that they truly are getting closer to God through this practice?
Well, my question would be, first of all, my affirmation would be, yes, I am sure that you are getting into the presence of a spirituality. There is absolutely no doubt about it. I'm sure that you feel It's an absolutely wonderful experience of God. My question is, what God, what spirituality are you contacting? Because the vehicle of our contact is most important to God. God has specifically designed our vehicle to get into a place of worship to Him. Our vehicle to get into the presence of God is through the gates of praise, praise of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and this is how we worship in spirit and truth. So the whole design of yoga is based on an Eastern understanding of being able to supervise your death. The whole idea of yoga is that one knows one is going to die, and you prepare for death, you prepare for your next reincarnation cycle through mental exercises and physical postures that align you with the deities, align your mind with deities, align you with your own ignorance that is separating you from God. Now, all of these Hindu terms and Eastern spirituality have got nothing to do with Christ-centered, biblical, Judeo-Christian concepts. So why do we have to prepare for death? It's been done for us. Death, where is your sting? Through Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross for us. We have abundant life, so there is no need to go through any kind of mental gymnastics to further a life that we have already got. If you're already in a room, there is no need to experience the presence of being in that room because you are already in that room.
Carol, let me read a couple of quotes from the magazine called Hinduism Today. And the managing editor of Hinduism Today, I'm not going to give his name because I can't pronounce it, said Hinduism is the soul of yoga, based as it is on Hindu scripture and developed by Hindu sages. Yoga opens up new and more refined states of mind, and to understand them, one needs to believe in and understand the Hindu way of looking at God. He goes on to say, a Christian trying to adapt these practices will likely disrupt their own Christian beliefs. Now, here's one more quote from Hinduism Today. It's very important. And an open letter to evangelicals in Hinduism Today, a certain Swami says, quote, a small army of yoga missionaries, Hatha, Raja, Siddha, and Kundalini, beautifully trained in the last 10 years. Listen, my audience friends. Beautifully trained in the last 10 years is about to set upon the Western world. They may not call themselves Hindu, but Hindus know where yoga came from and where it goes. But by reading that out of this Hinduism Today, is it saying it has a active so-called missionary program to recruit all sorts of people, including Christians?
Of course it does. Hinduism is a recruiting, proselytizing religion. The Hindu Vishwa Parishad is one of the largest organizations, missionary organizations in the world, and the Hindu Vishwa Parishad is absolutely rooted in Orthodox Hinduism, and their quest is to proselytize the world. In fact, they're the largest missionary organization, and they launched an missionary effort in 1979 in Allahabad, India, where some of the footage in the Yoga Uncoiled from East to West is from Allahabad. Mm-hmm. And at the Second World Congress in Hinduism, which was attended by about 60,000 delegates from around the world, one of the speakers said, our mission in the West has been crowned with fantastic success. Hinduism is becoming the dominant world religion, and the end of Christianity has come near.
Carol, yoga, it's an inherent part of the Hindu philosophy. We know that. It teaches man and nature are one with divinity. But yoga devotees, and let's just say Christian yoga devotees, will tell you, and you've heard this a gazillion times, it's only stretching exercise. It's deep breathing exercises. It's going to improve my health. It's going to relieve stress. Not true, I don't think.
Well, Jan, there are certain parts of it that are absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an illustration.
Okay.
If a young man joins the army, he joins the army to learn how to kill. One of the benefits of the army is to grow healthy. They have to do endurance exercises. They
mm-hmm.
have to do climbing. They have to do running. They have to keep fit. That is one of the side benefits of joining the army, is getting fit. Now, one does not join the army to get fit. One joins the army to learn how to kill. But that is a side benefit. The same with yoga. Yoga is designed to kill the body, kill in the sense all the emotions, and line the person up to learn reincarnation. Pandit Motilal Nehru, who is one of the great Indian philosophers and authorities on yoga, said that the aim of yoga is to realize liberation from the human condition. To achieve this liberation, in other words, a type of death from the human condition,
mm-hmm.
various psychological, physical, mental, and mystical methods have been devised. All those methods are antisocial, in that yoga prescribes a way of life which says his mortal life is not worth living. Now, yoga, that's the end of Motilal's quote, but this is the idea that, yes, some of the stretching exercises may help a body to stretch. Some of the spiritual mental exercises may help detach the person's mind, which
mm-hmm.
is designed to detach the person from the mortal bodies they live in. And there is a type of counterfeit peace that comes with that detaching. And within Hindu philosophy, we are told that life is maya. There is no reality. The reality we live in is an illusion. Therefore, one is going through a worldview change when you are doing yoga. Yes, there may be some side benefits that you're getting a little stretch in there. But my goodness, to the detriment of your spiritual eternity, this is a grave sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
To trade spiritual eternity, get involved in pagan concepts, rituals, ceremonies, and trade all this for an eternity with Jesus Christ. The work has been done
mm-hmm.
through Jesus. We've been given abundant life. The work of yoga is to teach you how to die.
You know, I showed this film last Sunday evening at a local church, a Twin City Fellowship in the Twin Cities, and just about every time, you had some very, very powerful clips of a Lutheran pastor, actually in Minnesota, who was giving instructions to her class as to how to do this Christian yoga. And those were visually graphic. I thought one of the most visually graphic illustrations of delusion I have ever seen. But she had, first of all, she had eager students. Secondly, I noticed she had very likely naive students. And thirdly, I noticed upon the students who are all adults, the expressions on their faces showed complete confidence in this pastor who was leading them in this session of Christian yoga. It was very, very powerful, and a number of you could hear loud gasps in the audience. Whenever you zeroed in on her, you could hear the gasps in the audience. They couldn't believe it.
Yep. She is definitely a very convinced yoga practitioner, but she clearly defines herself in a very interesting group of people. She says that she is not, that the yoga that she practices is not part of the Orthodox Hindu, and she puts them on the right-hand side of her, or the fundamental Bible-believing Christians, and she puts them on the left side of her.
Mm-hmm, right.
She says there is this whole group of Christians in the middle who want to experience Jesus Christ, want to experience mystical the mystical presence of God, and they are the ones that do mystical yoga. So she is mixing the idea. She's not saying that you can do the physical without the spiritual. In fact, she says that it is spiritual, but she has redefined the spiritual in Christian terminology, in biblical names, biblical concepts of Jesus Christ. I mean, by biblical, I say that she's attempting to sanitize.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it really isn't a biblical Jesus, because one doesn't have to, for instance, breathe in and out to get closer to Jesus Christ. The breath of God was breathed into us to make us into his image and likeness and to fill us with his Holy Spirit. That was the good use of God's breath in us to unite us to him. To get into postures and shapes to get into the presence of God is absolutely not a biblical concept at all. Never in the Old Testament are the priests or the Israelites, anybody told to get into physical positions in order to worship God. It is a bodily exercise. Paul says it profits us a little to be involved in bodily exercise, but really the whole point is to get our minds, our hearts, and all our strength focused in the work of Jesus Christ with gratitude. There is nothing more we need to do. So to get this idea of holistic thinking, that you can perfect your body, mind, and spirit in one exercise, is a pagan concept. It's a holistic concept.
Right.
We are made in mind, body, spirit. Therefore, we can exercise in mind, body, spirit. No, we can't. That is a pagan ideology to try and perfect the body. Not that we don't perfect the body. I'm not saying anything against exercise. Exercise is absolutely wonderful. I practice it regularly, but I call it exercise. It's for my body. I also spend a completely separate amount of time in the Word of God, meditating on his precepts, precept upon precept, and giving him thanks and worshiping him. I have a totally different time of worship with fellow believers, where we get into the presence of God through songs. But these are all spiritual exercises that are called spiritual exercises, to combine body, spirit in a sort of feel-good experience is, I think, treading on very dangerous ground. It's very difficult combining the two, I would say.
Dave Hunt says, don't get into things that were designed for self-realization and to help you realize that you are God. And then he insists there's no way to modify yoga and make it acceptable for Christians. Now, did I miss something in seeing this film, that there's an underlying message that you can be like God?
Well, this is the Hindu concept.
Yes.
It's self-deification, self-glorification, self-empowerment. This is the idea. And, of course, the whole emphasis on making the body better is also a self-motivating concept. And trying to do it through spirituality is nothing but deceptive. You know, one of the things, Jan, is I was born and raised in India.
Yes.
And I have seen the purity of yoga, the purity of Hinduism. One of the things I am so amazed with within the Hindu culture, which I loved growing up in India, it's my home, it's my life, my passion, I speak their language, I love their culture. One of the things that I was given such an awareness of, that I am so grateful to the Lord, is a huge supernatural world. They truly believe in the supernatural world. Their entire spirituality, their day-to-day living is for the supernatural. They go to seers and sages if they want to go to a new job, if they want to marry, if they want to make an important decision in just buying a home, doing something important. This is the gods of nature, the forces, the way they function. Now, we as Christians, I'm saying that to contrast us as Christians. How many of us, before making a decision, a new job, buying a new home, getting into marriage, how many of us consult the Word of God, the mind of God, the opinion of God, or do we do our own opinion and then ask God to bless it? This is the difference.
Mm-hmm.
In India, they are so aware of the supernatural world. They understand good and evil in the sense of the spiritual realm has lighter sides and darker sides. They fear the darker side. They try and tap into the whiter side. And we in the West have absolutely absorbed this Eastern concept that we can be involved with powers and principalities, but we can tap into the white side, and therefore we are deceived by the angel of light. And yoga is one of these practices that taps into the light side of the so-called force, the benevolent side, practicing the presence of God in what's said to be a peaceful way, but all of these come from the angel of light. And if we don't understand the hugeness of the supernatural battle, the supernatural world, I made a movie called Supernatural Powers, The Battle Between Good and Evil, and line out in there who the angels are, what their agenda is, who the ministering angels of God are, how they are there to do his bidding and work to his beck and call. But then there are the fallen angels who want to possess us, who want us to communicate with them, who will give us endearing visions of Jesus if we want, through whatever means we want. They want to come in, possess our mind, and separate us from the purity of Jesus Christ. I love there is a scripture that just always touches my heart so much that Paul says in 2 Corinthians, where he warns the Corinthians, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Satan's agenda and the agenda of the fallen angels is to attack our minds, just as he did the mm-hmm. mind of Eve, through seduction, through a spiritual experience, through her senses. Touch the apple, look at the apple, taste mm-hmm. the apple, and then you will see a new aspect of God. And we are being seduced through our senses to see a new presence of God, experience a new presence of God. He is the falsifier of God's word. He twists the word of the knowledge of God, and this is his job. He has had thousands of years to practice it. He does it well, and this is the prevalent religion of our country today. And it is experiential Christianity.
Yeah,
our minds have been hardened to his control. We have been blinded. He is the God of this world who blinds our minds. And he does not want us to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ.
Right, but Carol, it's also, he's very clever in that he has picked a time in history when discernment is at an all-time low, when pastors aren't really checking things out, at least some of them aren't, checking things out for their congregants as to what's to avoid and what's healthy and what's unhealthy. I mean, so this has come along at a perfect time. I call it the great falling away because that's what the Bible calls it.
It is a falling away, and it's because of the times that we live in. Our generation has been set up for at least 40 years, from the 60s, where the Beatles introduced the global experience through hallucinogenic drugs.
I have been saying for many, many, many years that they are in part responsible for the East seducing the West, because in the late 60s, I believe 67, they went over to India and came back saying, we found something better than drugs. We have found Eastern mysticism. And that's actually where you open your film.
Yes. Yes. Because, you know, and it's been very interesting, we have got a whole new generation that didn't know about the 60s, born
right.
in the 80s. They're the ones that are absolutely clamoring towards Christian yoga. There is a generation of kids that have grown up thinking that yoga has always been with us, that mm-hmm. Eastern mysticism, the New Age, has always been with us. Well, In the 50s, although it was beginning, there was the seduction was beginning in the 40s and 50s, but really the whole mind change, the social transformation happened at the end of the 60s as the Vietnam War was here, the hippie generation came in, there was a reluctance to support America, anti-patriotism came into focus, there was a whole disenchantment, and drugs was introduced in campuses worldwide, and Eastern mysticism was brought in because the Beatles were so globally famous, mm-hmm. I mean, just a world phenomenon. I think, I'm sorry to say that the Beatles were the first world phenomenon and Harry Potter is the second, and
yes.
both of them are in the mind-altering business. And it has been incredible, the impact of clicking into pagan belief systems, which are exciting. It's the promise of power, the promise of a high. In fact, the Beatles said that you could have the promise of the high without the dangers of the drugs. And
mm-hmm.
That's what was promised. But, of course, with drugs comes an addiction. With Eastern spirituality comes an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
People do not understand that the more and more you practice it, the more your worldview gets changed, and there is a spiritual addiction. So the use of Christian yoga every day or so many times a week is part of the indoctrination of change, changing your worldview, coming into a presence that feels good. And this has been the new educational system to lean on feelings and emotions as opposed to facts and, proper factual exercise. The postmodern idea today,
yeah.
this postmodern era, just mocks facts and truth and certainty and completely fits into the Eastern mystic teaching that there is no absolute truth. Eastern mysticism is based on subjectivity and relativity. It's based on the foundation of evolution. Everything is always changing. It's ever developing into other forms. This is the basis of Eastern mysticism. So no wonder if our minds are constantly, in a sense, being changed to a shifting foundation, and this appears to be good, that is in absolute opposition to God's claims, where he says truth is absolute. He is the truth. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he gives us principles for right living, and one of them is not to get into the group peer pressure of consensus and group consensus in a way, but to be separatists. To pull ourselves out of the world. And this was his plea to the Hebrews continually through the Old Testament, and of course Paul's plea and Jesus' plea in the Gospels, and that he's come to preach a gospel to call us to the kingdom, to call us to God. But the world is calling us to global community thinking, to unity.
Right.
This is the new basis of the new global religion, unity through consensus. And anybody who dares to oppose this with narrow-minded truth and absolute truth is rocking the boat and is maligned. We see that so clearly in the Harry Potter series. I made a film called Harry Potter Witchcraft Repackaged, where the muggles, the Christian, the traditionalists, the ones who oppose witchcraft, are made to look hideous, extreme, repulsive. They're the ones that don't understand witchcraft, that don't want their children to be involved in this exciting change of mind. Once again, the change of mind that Harry is involved in, Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. And throughout Harry Potter, there's a new type of child-friendly yoga. It's teaching Harry to concentrate in this new pagan belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same in Christian yoga. We're told to concentrate on a new worldview.
I think, too, of the verse that we are the temple of the living God. Glorify God in your body. And I guess I have a hard time seeing Hindu poses to 330 million gods as a way of glorifying God in our bodies. But I know most participants don't even understand that. Now, Thomas Nelson has come out with the book, Yoga for Christians. This is just absolutely purely outrageous. We'll have to spend a few extra minutes on this. And their promotional material says, I'm just going to read a paragraph, build your own class from warm-up to meditation with this informative book that is the perfect tool for both students and teachers. Take your practice to the next level as you strengthen your faith and heal your body. Each pose is designed, described with thorough explanation, including high and low intensity modification and photographs. Additional chapters are provided for a child's practice and partner with. And then they offer a companion piece, which apparently is a video or DVD, Outstretched in Worship. You're aware of these products, I
yes.
know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm very aware of them. And I think the difficulty is that science, they use science as a sort of basis for the benefits of yoga. The problem is there was once a time when science was defined with material facts. It had to have material evidence to be able to prove scientifically mm-hmm. what was worthwhile and what wasn't worthwhile. Well, science then got remodified and changed to start looking into supernatural things. Well, science cannot define the supernatural world. Only God in his word can tell us about the supernatural world. So once science got redefined and started absorbing the supernatural world and giving their answers, man-made philosophical answers to the supernatural, then God got redefined. And the deity of God and nature both got redefined, because the only way that we can look at nature and we can look at the character of God is through his word in the Bible and lean on his faith. Now, Eastern mysticism that defines nature and God does not have that as a foundation. And what we've got is this new type of yoga that gives us high benefit, low benefits, physical benefits, mental benefits, supposedly or scientifically scientifically authenticated, but truly they're going with the opinions of man. And the opinions of man is the consensus of man. The opinions of God are totally different. And what's happening is pastors and Christians are leaning to the opinions of man and to their own opinions. It feels good when they do this yoga. It feels good. So they're relying on their own opinion as opposed to, God, what are you saying about my mm-hmm. Changing Eastern practices into biblical names and biblical postures? It's a very cunning twist.
There was an article in Christianity Today not so long ago. I'll read a paragraph from it. I think it says a lot. It says, so what do you say when your nice neighbor or relative or friend who loves God, reads the Bible, talks and walks the faith, suddenly becomes a devotee of Christian yoga? And then Christianity Today goes on saying, because they featured a woman who was a Christian practicing this, featured the story about a Christian yoga devotee, and she says this, quote, I breathe in Jesus Christ and I breathe out stress. I breathe Holy Spirit in and fear out. I breathe God the Father in and anxiety out. She is so thankful that someone pried open her naive evangelical mind to the wonders of yoga. And then she concludes, quote, give me 5 minutes of yoga and my mind immediately goes to the metaphor of God's Spirit being omnipresent and as necessary as air. That says a lot, Carol.
Well, yes, it does. It goes back to the God of this world who has blinded
yes.
the minds that they might not see. This comes right back to the beginning where we said that Paul says, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray. Their minds were hardened until the very day at the reading of the Old Covenant. The same veil remains unlifted. Now, you can say that you love Jesus, but if you say that, then we have to walk by faith, and our faith has to be in the Bible and in the healing power of Jesus doing what Jesus is going to do according to his will. We pray, thy will be done, God. We cannot manipulate Jesus to come in. When I breathe in, I breathe Jesus. Jesus is not a puppet.
Right.
That I say, come into me now, go out of me, stress. Come into me. This is terrible. This is such manipulation of us thinking that we are deity, thinking that we have self-power, self-empowerment, that we can tell the spirits to come in and go out at our bid, our beck and call.
All right. But, Carol, what would you say to someone who came up to you and said this?
Well, I have indeed been in dialogue like this. I am sad to say that most of the times that they've given over their mind to feeling good, their mind has been given over to an addiction that you can't do anything about. It's like arguing with an alcoholic or a drug addict to give up what they are involved in when the addiction at this point makes them feel so good. They're relying on their feelings and what their mind is telling them. When they get to a place of understanding the deception and the delusion, or wanting to hear the word of God and God's opinion, then you can dialogue with somebody.
Okay.
They're filled with the wrong spirit.
Okay. So if you want to get closer to Krishna or Buddha, go ahead. But if you want to get closer to the God of the Bible by altering your consciousness and stretching, forget it. Now, you need to understand the world of deception and how rapidly it is sweeping through the church today. Now, here we need to move real fast on three other issues. A friend of mine has called in and asked my engineer, what about Pilates? Secondly, what about praise moves? And thirdly, what about martial arts? Now, if you can do that in about 2.5 minutes, you get a special crown in heaven.
Well, Pilates is the name of an English officer, military officer, who was wounded in the Second World War and designed various exercises to help him overcome his wounding. Since then, he's died. He's passed on the franchise, and it depends who works through Pilates, but a lot of Pilates teachers are connected to the idea of the force being healing, of the energy being healing, all that sort of thing. The same with martial arts. Once you focus in on a sort of spiritual healing process that you can tap into untapped healing, rather like The Secret, which Oprah Winfrey promoted recently, that's the same sort of thing, that through self, you can get better. This is the difference. It's faith in our faith in our moves, faith in our breathing, faith in our mind. This is completely different to faith in Jesus Christ. Praise moves is a whole different different design. It's difficult to lump it in with this because the believer of praise moves has come out of Eastern thinking and has specially designed praise moves to supposedly be different to Eastern thinking. Once again, I think redefining postures, attaching scriptures to them, and exercising the body and the mind together goes back to holistic thinking and holistic exercise. I think there is a danger in this, particularly in the times we live in. Never before has the culture been so ripe to absorb this kind of thinking, and spirituality, Eastern pagan spirituality, has been cleaned up with Western terminology, and it gets very confusing. And the scriptures warn us to stay away from anything that remotely even looks troubling. So, you know, well, I would just ask God to help make decisions in these very difficult times. But God is faithful. When we ask him for his wisdom, he gives it. And it has to be based on his scriptures, not on my mind and not what makes me feel good.